Support comes from Mosby Building Arts, designing custom bathrooms that fit every personal style. More at callmosby.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Love is a strong emotion, one that can bind people together to create beautifully lasting memories. But love is also a bond that's incredibly complex, and strong emotions that accompany or even enable such bonds, instead of making our lives better, they can make them much worse and even destroy them. That danger is the subject of the podcast, How to Destroy Everything. The series, created and led by St. Louis natives Danny Jacobs and his childhood best friend Darren Grodsky, explores the life of Danny's father, a deceased former attorney named Richard Jacobs. Both Danny and Darren were back home in St. Louis this week for a sold-out live show about how to destroy everything on Thursday night. And they join me in studio now. Danny, Darren, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
What a pleasure.
Thank you for having us.
Great.
That was a fantastic intro. Can you do our podcast for us?
Yes,
that was amazing.
Sure. Let me talk to my agent.
Yeah.
So let's start with St. Louis and here. And
yeah.
Darren, I want to begin with you. Now, both you and Danny grew up right here in St. Louis. Remind us about how the two of you met.
First of all, just to answer everyone's question, Parkway North High School.
Yeah.
That's not where we met. I just wanted to get the high school out.
Yes.
So Danny and I met in elementary school. we say first grade.
Yeah.
That's our narrative. Though I did recently look at our elementary school yearbook and discover that we were in the same kindergarten class. So I don't know if we were.
You were in Mrs. Wilkes' afternoon?
PM kindergarten.
Oh, wow.
So we probably met there and maybe despised each other.
Yeah.
But it was in first grade when
we became friends.
The friendship began.
Yeah.
And we were friends all throughout. So the way I would describe it is that Danny and I, even in middle age, we can have arguments as middle-aged men, as 20-somethings, as teenagers, and as six-year-olds.
We're basically stuck back
there, emotionally. Arrested development.
Yes.
So that is a lot of time, many years and stages of life.
Yeah.
Darren, what is it that you remember of Danny's dad at the time, maybe when you were in elementary and middle school, and in particular?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, when you're like an elementary school kid, I don't know what capacity I had to understand. I had no capacity to understand mental illness, that's for sure. You accept your friend's parents as, you know, their parents, and they maybe are strange or not. But even as a kid, I recognized that Danny's dad was unusual.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that my earliest memory of him was in our orchestra concerts at Bellerive Elementary School when he would often show up right before the concert would start.
Mm-hmm.
He would sit himself in the front row, sometimes even moving one of the folding chairs.
Plastic chair,
yeah,
scraping it across the ground.
Scraping it across the ground. And he would have a
He'd sit in the aisle,
that's right. And he would have a paper grocery bag full of newspapers.
My dad read 3 newspapers a day, so.
And I guess he fell behind.
Yeah.
So okay. We would be playing our hearts out, terribly, mind you, but playing our hearts out. And he would have, I wouldn't see his face because I would just see the other side of a newspaper.
Newspaper, oh my goodness.
As he's reading it through the entire concert.
And then throwing it onto the ground so that by the end of the concert, there'd been a pile of newspapers.
Which he would leave for someone else
to put
away. So that was, right away, I was like, well, that's different than anyone else's parents.
And do you remember what kinds of comments people made about that?
Well, so my parents went to high school with Danny's dad. So they knew him, you know, since U City in 1961 or whenever they graduated. And I do remember the phrase that was often used about Danny's dad was, he's not all there.
Very Midwest euphemism.
A euphemism of like, you know, and also like, I don't know that people had certainly didn't have the word narcissism was not in our vocabulary,
right.
That anyone that I knew in the 80s and 90s. But so that was this sort of like way of understanding, oh, something is odd about him, not all there.
Mm-hmm. And you are responding, Danny, to what Darren has been describing.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a sense for you too that your dad was different in such a way that, like, that you had to kind of to explain, that is?
You explain to other people?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I don't know that I've. I don't know that I.
Of course, it's a good question, Danny. She's a professional.
She's a professional. Yeah. I don't know that I had the wherewithal when I was super young to explain him. I think instead, I kind of navigated myself socially so that people knew that I like wasn't on his side. Mm-hmm. So that's a way that I kind of saved myself from an element of shame and guilt about being his son, was that when I'd be around other adults and I could sense that they were judging him in some way, I would kind of be like, hey, yeah, can you believe that guy kind of thing? So that they knew that that I was teamed with them.
Even in elementary school, you think?
Especially then, because I didn't have any other language. All I knew was it felt very uncomfortable to be associated with him, so I would do whatever I could to kind of alter that association.
Mm-hmm. And you do talk about that, I think, when you were in high school, during the course of the podcast, but for that to be an inarticulable thing for someone who is so young and yet feeling the environment, the social environment in particular.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing that I knew, and we put this in the podcast, is that I was like 6 or 7 years old walking to the bus stop one day, and I had this revelation that my dad was sick. So I had the language to think that he was sick, but I didn't really articulate that to anybody else.
Right. Now, through the course of the podcast, and there are still some episodes left to come out.
Yes.
I got to like episode 12 and then the interregna, sort of in between.
Yeah.
But as the episodes unfold, there's this sort of yet developing understanding of the way your father, Richard, impacted others' lives. And this includes neighbors, classmates, friends. And that has not been easy. Like, this is something you can hear.
Yeah.
What has it been like to meet, and I'll say meet your dad through other people's eyes, and then what has it been like to meet Richard, not your father, but Richard Jacob, through the perspectives of others?
I mean, it has been, I would say emotionally challenging. I think that, but also it has been emotionally challenging on one level, because I'm hearing all these sort of different windows into who he was. It has also been very affirming at the same time, because it has made me feel less alone. You know, people's responses to him, no matter if it's somebody that ran into him at Schnucks and had a run-in, or somebody that got sued by him for 10 years, like, they experienced feelings through their interactions with my dad that were very similar to the ones that I felt. And so the process has made me feel a part of a broader community in a way that I did not feel when we started this.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the main characters, so to speak, in the podcast is not a person. It's a house. Mm-hmm. And it is the house, Danny, in which you grew up.
Yeah.
It has a name.
Yeah,
it sure does. The Royal Manor. Tell us a bit about this place and why it has such a key role, Danny.
Well, so yes, my dad bought a house with my mom in West County, before I was born. And it was the house that I lived in, you know, off and on, because I would go back and forth with my mom's, to my mom's house. But basically, he was there until the day he died.
Now, we should say, when you say that this house had a name, that is legally true, because it was a house with a street address like any others on Royal Manor. And Danny's dad spent, as we understand it, years hounding the post office, somehow creating a situation in which he legally changed his address from whatever the street number was to
The Royal Manor. I think the reason why that house has such an outsized place in my life and memory, but also the podcast, is because, and it's emblematic of the name itself, the Royal Manor, it was my dad's fiefdom. I mean, it was the place in which he had 100% control. I think a lot of the times, when he's out in the world, he would have a lot of these struggles with people and the outside forces of humanity, because he was trying to exert his control in a place that wouldn't fully accept it. But within the confines of his house, there was nobody to push back, certainly mm-hmm. not me or my brother, who were just kids and under his control. And so within that, he was sort of this mad scientist in there, sort of doing all these construction projects and also just like laying down his will on everybody that lived in his purview.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there are several moments in the podcast where the listener goes to the royal manor and even on trips inside it.
Mm-hmm.
But Danny, you yourself have not returned yeah. to this place. Why?
Oh, well, the last time I was there was the day of my dad's funeral. I went with my brother and my mom and my cousin to kind of check things out to make sure that there wasn't anything we wanted to keep. And I was not excited about going there then.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the place is so filled with haunting memories, you know, the ghost of my dad. If there's any sort of physical location that most feels like him, it's that physical space. So, you know, up until this point, I just haven't been ready to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It was even frightening when Darren went back earlier in the podcast in episode 2. I mean, I was sitting there watching on Zoom, and that was also, just that was harrowing.
I honestly didn't process in for me how harrowing this would be for Danny until in that episode he was up via Zoom and I was there with all the neighbors and we were having this conversation. And one of the first sort of shocking moments for me in the podcast was when Danny got extremely emotional just at the breadth of the stories that he was hearing from these neighbors and just being vicariously in his house. You know, when we set out to do this podcast, I think Danny and I, certainly I thought, okay, we're going to tell this crazy story about this guy in the past. And we're writers and directors, and we tell stories from a distance because we're sort of the talking about control. We're in control mm-hmm. of our stories. But that was the first moment when I realized that Danny and I were not in control of this story, that there was an emotional penetration that was happening that was very much in the present and very much beyond our capacity to control it.
Mm-hmm. And then for you, Darren, to be the person who sort of led expeditions through the royal manor thus far, with the kind of relationship you have with Danny, what you understand, what is still unfolding, what was it like? I mean, what is it like to be in that place?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's interesting. I mean, you know, as Danny's best friend for a long time and longtime collaborator, normally I feel it's like my obligation to mock him lovingly, you know?
Sure.
And so it's hard for me to not be able to do that. No.
Tell us more about your troubles, Darren.
It is, I think I said this on the podcast, but like when this was happening, I am of two minds. On the one hand, I'm Danny's friend. And I see him going through this emotional journey that, frankly, I have never seen before. Despite being friends since first grade, we did not talk about this stuff in any real way. And so then you see your friend going through this, and I feel like, oh, I should protect him. I should stop this. This is bad. On the other hand, I'm also his collaborator on this podcast.
Right.
And while it's happening, I'm like, this is really good podcast content. I should push this a little bit.
Also, there are times throughout the process when I just get so in the weeds of it.
Yes.
It's my own life and memories that I will turn to Darren. I'll be like, is this even interesting?
Oh, constantly.
And Darren will be able to say, no, this is great.
Constantly. Yeah. Danny, we'll have recorded something that is unbelievable. And Danny's like, nobody wants to hear this. And I'm like, no, this is quite good. Because you know,
this is all navel gazing. You know what I mean? Like to an extent, I'm just like so tired of my own stuff. It's just like, ugh, nobody cares.
But you are still also the collaborator on
this.
So you're trying to be entertaining. I think mm-hmm. Danny's wrestling with this also.
Yeah.
And open and honest. And normally when we're writing a fiction screenplay, we both have enough perspective that right. we can tell what we're interested in.
Yeah.
But I do think that, yeah, I've had to be the purveyor of like, no, this is interesting.
Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
We had a recent episode where we interviewed Danny's wife talking yes. about this experience that we had talked about way back in the beginning of the podcast as well.
The scene where I introduced her to my dad. For yes, mm-hmm.
and that's an example where we interviewed Danny's wife and he's like, this is
the exact same thing. Nobody cares.
And I and our producer had to be like, no. That was the opening of the podcast. It was a fascinating moment. And to hear it now from the other perspective
yeah.
is really interesting.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I concur. It's yeah. fascinating.
Good.
We're going to take a very quick break here. But when we come back, we'll continue this conversation with the creators of the podcast, How to Destroy Everything. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio. Welcome back. I'm Elaine Cha. We're talking today with the creators of the How to Destroy Everything podcast, St. Louis natives Danny Jacobs and Darren Grodsky. The podcast tells the story of Danny's father, Richard Jacobs, and the damage he did to his family and to the people around him. Now, before the break, Darren, you had brought up illness. And Danny, this is something that you also acknowledge. And a word that comes up a lot throughout the podcast, including in its description, is the true story of Richard Jacobs, a narcissist who destroyed a marriage, a family, and a community. So narcissism is something that can be diagnosed by a doctor as a personality disorder, but it's a word that people will frequently use these days to describe bad relationships with self-centered people. Why is narcissism the word that you use to describe your father, Danny?
Well, yes, because just to add to that, a lot of times narcissists are undiagnosed. Almost all the time they're undiagnosed because narcissists feel like they're not the problem. They don't have to go to therapy. They don't have to get diagnosed. In my family's case, we have the added benefit of the fact that during my parents' divorce, my dad was court ordered to get evaluated. And one of those psychologists identified him as a malignant narcissist. So that's why we use that word, though I also think that it is incomplete. Like, I think there's a cocktail of other things going on that some of which have a technical, medical diagnosis, some don't, that have led to this really unique stew that was my dad.
We certainly are not professional therapists, psychologists, nor journalists. and so we are, we're going off of what we read in the court documents in terms of that diagnosis. Of course, Danny's dad then subsequently had himself evaluated by
his own doctor.
A doctor that he found who declared that he was not a narcissist, mm-hmm. though I'm not sure that I would trust that one quite right. as much as the one that was ordered by the court.
So the term narcissist used to describe Richard Jacobs, mm-hmm. Darren, for you, having seen Richard Jacobs throughout Danny's childhood, did it set off like, yes, that's exactly what he was? Or did you not have enough information to come to that conclusion?
I mean, I feel like you said, narcissism is kind of in the zeitgeist of late. When we were kids, I certainly did not think, I mean, I thought of like narcissism as like, like the myth, narcissist, like literally mm-hmm. just, in love with oneself. In like English classes, we talked about yeah. it. But as an adult, I don't know when, but at some point I read in the DSM, they have those lists of all the categories of a narcissist. And I do remember reading that list and just doing this little mental checklist about mm-hmm. Danny's dad, and just mm-hmm. being check, check, check. Not all of them, not yeah. every quality, but so many of them did seem to resonate with my memories of Richard. So it seemed like Danny said, I think there's more going on there, the extreme paranoia and a few other things, but narcissism did seem to, check the box for Richard Jacobs.
Mm-hmm. And earlier you had brought up, Danny, the scene at the start of the podcast where there's a dramatization. It features you, Danny, and an actress who was playing your fiancé at the time, mm-hmm. now your wife. Let's hear some of that.
Sorry, can we Just go through it again.
Sweetie, we've gone through it like a million times.
I know. I just... One more time, please. I'd feel better.
Okay.
Okay. When's your birthday?
Change the subject.
What's the name of your best friend from high school?
Oh, gosh. I had so many, it's hard to pick just one.
And where do you bank?
You really think he'll ask that?
Honey, do you have any idea what will happen if you slip up here, if you give him one iota more than he needs?
Well, yeah, you said he might, like, sleuth or whatever. But so
no, no,
what?
No. Not just sleuth, okay? I mean, you give him your birth date and phone number, and he'll find out your social security number. Next thing you know, he's opened up bank accounts in your name. He's buying real estate using your credit score. He's making photo collages, celebrating events he's not even supposed to know about. And not just that. He's hacking into your phone, listening to our conversations, reading your emails, and for some ungodly reason, he's sending you jade plants every single damn year for your birthday. And if and when you decide to do something about any of this, if you decide enough is enough and you ask him to back off or God forbid you call the authorities, he will sue you into oblivion. As a lawyer, he will represent himself, forcing you to spend your life savings on attorneys. And in court, he will reference arcane British case law and submit literally thousands of motions to delay and obstruct. And you will end up not only penniless, but emotionally bankrupt. So, I'm gonna ask you this again. Are you sure you're ready to meet my dad?
And that was a scene from the podcast, How to Destroy Everything. We're talking today with its creators, Danny Jacobs and Darren Grodsky. The podcast subject is Richard Jacobs, the father of Danny Jacobs. And as the title suggests, Richard Jacobs left behind a trail of destruction in his life, family, and community. Danny.
Yes.
This is the first scene you show listeners in the podcast. Mm-hmm. And then later in the season, we get to hear your wife tell this story from her point of view, meeting your dad for the first time at dinner, slipping up and giving him her phone number, and then her watching you fall apart. And it is a trip, actually, to hear the dramatization and then to actually hear your wife's voice and like how she describes like what she was feeling at that time.
Yeah.
Why is this moment so significant, sort of in the bigger picture of the story that you're trying to tell in this first season, Danny?
Because that moment is the moment that I had a real shift in perspective about my dad. I had struggled for years prior to that moment in a cycle of, you know, getting closer to my dad, then he would do something that would very much upset me or violate my life or privacy in some way. I would get angry. I wouldn't speak to him for a few months. Then something would happen and I'd get back together with him. And that went on and on and on until that moment. That moment was the first time introducing this woman that I loved to him that I realized that, you know, I had a lifetime of, you know, preparing to deal with who my dad was, but this woman did not and could not be prepared for that. And so now there was somebody else in the picture that I cared about, and the realization that he would be violating her life too was somehow materially different. And so that was the moment that I ended my relationship with my dad for good. I spoke to him maybe two or three times after that in the last 4 years of his life until he died.
Mm-hmm. Darren, I understand that at one point that you believe that Danny might maybe come to a point of empathy for Richard Jacobs, but instead you got pretty angry.
Yeah.
What changed that?
Well, I mean, many of these stories I knew before we made the podcast, not all of them, but many of them, and they were a source of amusement. Frankly, Danny and I would tell these stories to people because we knew that they were compelling. But I don't think that I had ever attached myself emotionally to them in the sense of like it really imagining what it was like for Danny to grow up in that environment.
Mm-hmm.
I've talked about this in the podcast. I grew up in a completely different environment, which is sort of my basis. And so I think that's why I had the privilege to look at this with amusement. I didn't think about the reality of growing up until making this podcast. And so, yes, you're right. At the beginning, the narrative part of my brain was like, well, the story of this should be that Danny has empathy for his father and realizes it's a redemption arc. His father, yes, he was a little quirky, but he wasn't so bad after all. But no, actually going through this and putting myself in Danny's shoes as a kid has enraged me. And
I think it was the episode yes. we did in Australia. I remember you got particularly mad at
yes.
that.
Yes, that was when you were an adult. You and your brother went to Australia with your dad. And I do think that that trip in microcosm is sort of like your whole relationship with your dad, which is a series of betrayals. That, you know, the short of it is
hope.
Hope, a little bit of hope at the beginning. Yep. A few moments of hope, but mostly a disaster culminating in him literally abandoning you in Australia.
In the middle of Australia, yeah.
Not letting you in the cab as he's driving off to wherever they're going. And yeah, that was, I think you're right, that was sort of the breaking point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Things get really personal in this podcast, Danny. And in a way, it sometimes feels, you know, invasive or, you know, at the very least, like this, like emotionally voyeuristic.
Yeah.
But it's so hard to stop listening to. I mean, you know, kudos to both of you for, right, this production. And then I think about the ways that, I think about the ways that your father got into people's lives mm-hmm. and experiences and looked at those things without permission. Mm-hmm. Clearly, we're doing this, listening.
That's interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
With permission.
Yeah.
Is there some aspect of this that's kind of, you know, messed up? Should we feel bad about, you know, listening to these really, really sensitive things that you're getting into?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's so interesting. You know, there's a Charlie Kaufman film called Synecdoche, New York, mm-hmm. that I often feel is in some way a companion piece to this podcast and this story, because there are so many of these levels that have folded in on itself in doing it. You know, we're trying to tell this story as honestly as we can, but we're also trying to make it entertaining. And so we are shaping things in a way that things have an arc and things go somewhere. And is that 100% truth? I don't know. I don't think so. I think it's somewhere in between.
It's also all based on your memory, which we all know how memory can be faulty at times.
Yes.
I mean, I think that, you know, if Elaine, if you're asking if it's okay for you to listen, I think it's okay for you.
I think
you
it's
to listen.
Yes.
But what I will say is that that we have heard from so many people who have, and this has been a shock to me really, because Richard Jacobs is such a specific person, but so many people who have narcissists, or at least potentially narcissists in their lives, who are not the same, but they see themselves in Danny, or they see this other person in Richard. And I do think that that is a result of the remarkable openness and vulnerability that Danny has allowed to happen in this very public way. That is, and again, it's hard for me to praise him, but
no, do it, do it,
is
hear it.
Admirable.
Yes, everyone heard it. It's recorded.
But anyway, yeah. I think that what you're saying is, there is a voyeuristic quality to it, but I think it's enabling a lot of people to see the sort of secret or darker parts of themselves, or the uncertainty, or the traumas that they've gone through potentially,
move towards healing.
I was going to say, I don't want to sound trite, but like people have literally told us that they're having conversations with their siblings that they've never had before after listening to episodes, and they feel like a healing coming from this, and that's mm-hmm. you know. It was never our intention, but it's a wonderful
side effect
of this.
Danny Jacobs and Darren Grodsky are the creators of How to Destroy Everything, which is a podcast. It is still releasing new episodes as it approaches the final episodes of its debut season. Danny and Darren, thank you so much for joining us in person.
Thank you so
much. Pleasure.
This episode was produced by Danny Wisentowski.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.